Hi everyone, welcome back to Sashay Away with Barry. I am here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race season 14. I lost what number, we're on season 14, episode 4. It is called She's a Super Tease, a lovely little play on She's a Super Queen, the song by, of course, RuPaul. We're going to get right into this episode. I'm going to do this whole episode and then I'm going to do a little snippet on UK versus the world at the end, but I will let you know when that's happening. So if you don't want to watch anymore, you can turn it off. Or if you don't want to listen anymore, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can stop it there as well. But UK versus the world is starting today. It should be available, I think, at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's airing at 9 o'clock in the UK. So I'm not going to recap it, obviously, because I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to talk about their promo looks just a bit because we did do an Instagram poll. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it is Sashay Away with Barry. I'm going to try to spell it and I never always get it wrong. So it's SashayAwayWithBarry. That is Sashay Away with Barry. Just how it sounds. We do weekly polls for all of the looks, which you will see in this video or hear about on the podcast. And we did them for both this episode and for the promo looks of UK versus the world. So that's what we're going to talk about at the end of this episode. But starting off with this episode, I'm just going to do a very basic recap of it because not a lot happened on the episode, except there was a lot of crying. And we started off with Jasmine crying because she didn't win the fucking ball last week over that. And then we had Cornbread crying when she was having a little bit of a breakdown. We had Alyssa crying as well. And then in Untucked, we had Lady Camden and George's both crying and Untucked. So it was a lot of tears this episode, a lot of unnecessary tears, in my opinion. We did get, you know, that famous line, it's a lot of emotion for Safe, that we got from, I believe Bosco said that about Jasmine. It was just crying and crying and crying and crying. No mini challenge, but they are doing a maxi challenge of where they are creating super teasers for season 14 of Drag Race. This is kind of an improv sketch thing, but they got to plan things out as well. So I don't know if you can really call it improv, because I think they actually did script it out themselves for the actual tapings of it. But maybe it was just an outline. I don't really know. Michelle and Carson are there to direct them. Like they really did anything other than give them a little bit of encouragement or maybe try something new. That's all they really did. But we divide out into teams, of course, and our two team captains are the winner of last week, which is Willow Pill, and our winner of the lip sync, which is Maddie Morphosis. They pick teams, and it leaves Jasmine as the last one not picked, which is a little shady. I think neither team really wanted to work with her because she does talk a lot and dominates the room, but that's just the way it is. And so she gets to pick which team wants to be on, and she picked Willow Pill's team, which everyone was surprised by. I wasn't. If you looked at the two teams, you could see kind of all of the top queens in one side and all of the secondary queens in the other side, other than Angeria, I think, on Maddie's team. So she picked the other team. I don't know. She said it was because she hadn't worked with them. Maybe it was more picked based on how they were divided out week one and two. I don't know. I have to go back and look and see. I didn't write down what the teams were. We get some life lessons from Miss Cornbread in this opening part of it as well, where she's talking to Jasmine about listening and not talking so much, and not trying to dominate the conversation. Agreed. Jasmine talks a lot. I also think there is something in the back. There's something that rubs Cornbread the wrong way with Jasmine. I think there is something more to it that we're not getting. I know that we see later in the episode, they're fine. They kiki in together. They congratulate each other on doing well done. And then they tweeted, I think this week as well, that things are great between them. Nothing's wrong, but something triggered Cornbread this episode. And she went in on Jasmine, and maybe they planned it. Who knows? This is TV. Maybe they planned it. They're like, let's get some airtime between the two of us. We'll go, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. But this first part, I respected Cornbread for bringing it up. I respected the way she did it. I respected everything about it that she did. And we got this a little bit on season 13 with Candy Muse not listening. It went the opposite way with Candy Muse because she didn't learn anything. She just wanted to be loud. She said that if she's the only one talking, that's because there's no one else talking. Jasmine kind of did the same thing, saying that she didn't like uncomfortable silences. And so that's why she talks so much. It could be, who knows? It could be that they just want airtime. That in my mind is a little bit of what my mind went to immediately with, especially with Cornbread, is that this bitch is going to keep talking and I'm not going to get any airtime because of it. So I'm going to jump in and steal her airtime because that is what these queens essentially are there for. They're there to be on TV. They're there to show their drag, but more importantly, it is a television show. It is not a competition show, which is what it's labeled as, because you can see production's hands all over again this episode. So anyway, Cornbread and Jasmine end up on the same team. Cornbread again is upset that Jasmine is taking notes during their meeting instead of listening. Again, she accuses her of not listening, but when she's taking notes, she is listening. She's writing down things. She's writing down questions that come up. I didn't see a problem with this. Cornbread again had it in her a bee in her bonnet and saying, fuck this bitch. I'm going to jump on her again for not listening. So I think Cornbread was really in the wrong this way and came off a little bit as a bully. Did it make me hate Cornbread? No. Did it lessen her in my eyes? A little bit. It made me also, this episode made me think maybe she's not the front runner that we all thought she was. I know a lot of people said claimed her immediately the winner of season 14. I was not on that because I thought it was too obvious. And now I think we are seeing a little bit of a backslide for her. Do I think she's going to be top four? Most likely, because she is good television. She's a good entertainer. Her drag is not perfect, but it is good. And that's the reason why I think she's going to make it to the top four. I don't think she's going to win still. My personal opinion. So they tape these super teasers. And we get a lot of stuff that is just cut out of the final edit. I think that is part of production doing that for us because, I mean, Carson even congratulated Maddie at one point saying, my dad's, plural, were supportive when she came out as straight. And Carson said that was a great little thing to add. Cut out of the final product. We didn't get to see it. So I think they edited it down to who we were supposed to believe were the strongest. That's what they wanted to show us, I think. We did get to see a lot more than what was edited. Obviously, that is the way, the nature of the beast. But there were some really funny bits in there that did not get added. They really edited down Willow Pills because while I thought she was really funny with what she said about getting the meal ticket and then about Jeffrey Boyer Chapman not being there, it just went on too long. They edited it down to where it was the right amount. She only said, where's Jeffrey, three times, as opposed to the 100 times that she said it in the workroom. I think they edited Cornbread better than what we saw of her. I thought she was terrible doing this little silky knockoff about being ready for everything with the food. I didn't get that at all. Angeria was very funny with her one bit, but that's all she was really funny with. There were parts of it that it just didn't, it was more or so production telling us, you're supposed to like this person, and this is why. And that's what we got with the finished products. But the real thing is the runway this week. And we have a night of 1,000 JLos. Let me share my screen with you all. of course, we start with RuPaul for every runway. And this is her look. It is gold lame with this blue fringe layered tiers on it. I love this dress. I love her hair. I hate this little headband she's wearing. Every time I did a close-up of her, it made no sense to me with the outfit. It felt like it should be actually pushed up to where her hair expands out. It would have made more sense to be there, but it is just hanging on her forehead, and I don't get it at all. I know RuPaul called her Xanadu, which they do wear those headbands in Xanadu, so that was the look she was going for, but I really like this look. I think she looks really good in it. I think it's an interesting dress and different from what she normally wears. On the Instagram poll, she did get a 73% toot. I don't know what people booted this for, but everyone has their own opinion. First up, we have Willow Pill, and she is wearing an old J-Lo look. this look of J-Lo, I mean, this J-Lo look is weird. I believe this was from 1998. I think Willow Pill looks better in it than J-Lo did. J-Lo's hair in this picture is a mess. I don't get that at all. But I love that this is a recreation of it. It is not a copy, but it is a really, really good recreation. She did it in her, I don't know if she found this dress somewhere or if she made it or had it made. But I love that it's not an exact replica, which we will get to later. So here's her full look. I'm going to show it just on her own. I think it's cute. If you didn't have the reference of J-Lo wearing it, I would say it needs to go to her ankle, or at least to her ankle. I mean, I know that all the queens want gowns to go to the floor, but I think this is a simple enough dress where it could have gone to the ankle. It just cuts off in a weird position, but that is how J-Lo wore it. So I get it. So I think she looks good in this. She did get an 82% toot on Instagram. And again, if you look at these two, J-Lo's does go to the ankle. Oh, I was wrong. So there you go. It should have gone to the ankle. But I think Willow Pill looks better than J-Lo did in it, honestly. My own personal opinion. Next, we have Cornbread. Ignore this picture of Cornbread's blurriness. This was just me taking it so I could get the picture of J-Lo in there of the dress. Here's a better picture of Cornbread in it. I think this was very smart of her. She took the dress, she replicated it and replicated it really well. Let's go back to the other one. You can see it's almost, you know, it's a lovely, lovely replication. It's not exact, but it's a good replication. And she made it fit her body, which, you know, is a challenge for bigger queens like myself. And I think she did a really, really good job. I don't know who made this for her. She does not. So we know that. This hair is terrible. She's got to get some volume in her wigs. There's nothing else I can say about this. She was very split. It was 50-50% on Cornbread's look. I can see that as well. I mean, I blame mostly the hair, but I think the outfit actually was a really, really good recreation of J-Lo's look. Next, we have Lady Camden, and she is giving us a red midriff and pants. And I think she looks fantastic. Is it the right hair? No, but this is the hair that she had that she could wear as a ponytail. And I appreciate that because the ponytail looks really good on her. Her midriff looks phenomenal. The dress, I think, is a perfect recreation of it. It is not, again, a duplication of it. It is a recreation because it is not the same, but I love these pants. I love the dramatic draping of the cape in the back. And the top looks cute. She has bigger earrings, obviously, which makes it a little more drag. So bravo to Lady Camden. I think she looks stunning in this look. One of my favorite looks on the runway, as far as a recreation of the look. She got just an 89% toot. Those of you who booted this, shame on you, because I think she did wonderfully. Next, we have Bosco giving us gold. And she went for gold lame. I am pretty sure that's not gold lame that J-Lo is wearing, but who cares? The hair is wrong. These boobs that she did are wrong. They look like two balls stuck in there, which is probably what they were. She could have used a little more padding on her hips to represent J-Lo, but I don't think she looks bad. And my biggest problem is the boobs and the hair. I think the hair is wrong for this look and the boobs are just so distracting. The dress itself is fine. It's not gorgeous. It's not stunning. It's fine. But look, I mean, she's beautiful. She really looks good. She's still my favorite queen on the show. She's not getting as much love as I thought she would, but that is just, you know, personal preference and showmanship. She did get a 56% toot, so slightly higher than half, but right kind of down the middle. Next, we have Carrie Colby wearing J.Lo's actual outfit from the recreation of the Versace that she wore to the Oscars 10 years later. Turns out she had both of them. She has a friend that owned, I don't know if they own them or works for Versace or somehow had both of these outfits, the original and the recreation. And she had both of them with her and she had to decide which one she was going to wear. She picked the recreation probably because it I want to say it's a little more tailored, whereas the other one is actually a gown. This one is kind of a bathing suit. This is very resort wear, which she could have worn for resort, but she didn't. She did not, because at resort wear, I think, were different colors. Animal print. I guess, it's safari. It's not animal. But it's the exact outfit. That's my issue with it, is that it is the exact outfit. It is not a recreation. She did not have this made. She did not make it herself. She's wearing the outfit. And to me, that is a fail. That's not drag. That's just putting on pretty clothes. I realize that's what she wants to do. She wants to be a model. She doesn't want to have to do any extra work. Does she look great? Absolutely. And she did get 100% toot. Obviously, it's the same outfit. There you go. I have nothing else to say about it. I'm actually glad that she ended up in the bottom in this look, because it's not drag for me. She just is wearing someone else's clothes. Next, we have Georges. She is giving us this performance look, I believe, from the Super Bowl. It is awful, 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 awful. Let me go back because it's a bad picture of her. You can see J.Lo's nude illusion matches her skin tone. Georges is nowhere near her skin tone. I don't know. Maybe it was the lighting that threw it off. I just don't know, because it's really bad. I just don't like it. I like the idea of it. It's just very, very poor execution. But she got a 68% too. I don't know what these Instagram followers of mine are doing, but this was wrong. It was a boot. Next, we have Jasmine Kennedy giving us this Valentino-inspired look. It's gorgeous. It's almost an exact replica, other than we know that she is a seamstress and she made this herself. So she replicated it as best she could. It is stone to the gods. The ombre is fantastic. The hair is good. The makeup is good. I think she looks immaculate. There's nothing bad I can say about this look. I think it's really, really great. She did just get an 82% toot. I'm guessing that's because people did not like her on this episode. That is people's choice. If you want to vote, follow me on Instagram and do a vote in my Insta stories. There you go. Next, we have Matty Morphosis, and she is giving us the white look from the inauguration that J.Lo wore. It's a great replication. It's not an exact replication. You can see the difference here, and you can see in her pants, she actually wore, I don't know if they're sequins or if they're stoned or if it's glitter, whatever it is, but that's the difference. She looks really, really good. I love the little beret with the hair coming out of it. I think she did a great job. Is she covered up? 1,000%. The only thing you can see is her neck and her face. But I think that is also, you got her hands. So she did. Maddie added gloves, so maybe if her hands were sticking out, it would be a little different. But I think she nailed the look. It worked for her. It was just a 54% toot on Instagram. Oh, she's not wearing a beret. That does throw it off a little bit. I don't mind the beret, but I see that she's not wearing it. Maybe she had it on at some point in the look. But it was just a 56% toot. I think that's kind of low for her. And I think, again, it's people don't like her because she's straight. But I think her look is great. Dacia Skye went completely different. She was inspired by the look, but did her own thing. And we know that she makes her own stuff. So she does have the gold bodysuit on. It is not the gold sequins, glittery thing that J-Lo is wearing. And then it is not the tacky Versace cape that J-Lo is wearing. She just went for a solid blue. I wish she had gone for a print. It didn't have to be this exact print, but it should have been something in the gold and the blue. And maybe the gold matches her, the gold in her bodysuit, not the gold like J-Lo's matches her bodysuit. But just a print of some kind. She looks really, really great. I appreciate that she did her own thing with it. She did not copy it. She did not wear the exact outfit. She made it her own. So bravo to her for that. I think she looks beautiful. Is it my favorite look? No, but it's a great recreation of J-Lo's look. She got a low score, 41% dude on this. And I understand. I mean, it's the one that least resembles it, but it is also one that she made herself. It is one that references it without being exact. So there you have that. Next, we have Diabetti, and she is doing also performance-less look. I think this is also from the Super Bowl. And it's really good. I think she looks stunning. This was after the reveal of the pink skirt, obviously. I think it's kind of a hot look. I love these chaps that she's wearing. I don't usually love chaps, but I think it totally works for this look. I think she looked great, but she just got a 61% too. Again, I have no control over these Instagram polls. This is what people who follow me are voting on, and that's all I can go by. So follow me and go vote for yourself. You can make a difference. These toots and boots are all over the place. Next, we have Angeria, Paris Van Michaels giving us J-Lo's Met Gala look. I believe this is from the 2019 Met Gala, which was the camp theme that no one actually did camp for. To me, this dress is not camp. It's a little campier on a drag queen. It is not on J-Lo, but it is gorgeous. Both are gorgeous. I think Angeria did the best replication that she could without copying it. Obviously the neckline isn't as low on Angeria. She chose a different necklace, which I don't mind. It would have looked better with a little pendant necklace instead of the giant choker, but I know she's trying to cover up her breastplate line, which is very, very important. And that is probably the same with the low cutness of it, because you can't go too far or you'll have the breastplate line there as well. But I think she looks stunning in this. She did seem to have a hard time walking in it. I don't know if it was the dress that was making her walk. She just seemed uncomfortable walking on the runway in it. Maybe it was the wig that she was trying to make it not slide on her head. So it was just something weird with her movement. But it's beautiful, beautiful look. She got a 97% toot. Again, I think this should have been 100% toot, because as far as recreating a look, this is a great recreation, whereas Carrie Colby just wore the outfit. So it wasn't really, to me, it's not drag. Angeria was giving us drag. Next, we have Alyssa Hunter, and she is giving us this look. I think it's also from the Super Bowl. I'm not 100% sure about that, so don't quote me. I didn't write it down, but I think it is a Super Bowl performance look. It's some performance look. And I think she looks fantastic in this. It's a great recreation of it. Again, not an exact replica, but a super, super great recreation. The money gun, I could have lived without. She has something. Maybe it was a money gun. I don't know. But I think the look is really, really strong and really, really well done. She did have a reveal down to this little corset body thing, which was sparkly. I'm assuming J-Lo did that. I don't know for a fact, but I think it really, really worked well on the runway for her. She got an 89% toot for this look. Well-deserved, because it is really, really a great recreation of it. She looks fantastic. Finally, we have Orion's story, and Orion did this look from the Human Rights Campaign, I think, where J-Lo was honored. It is what we call the vein dress. J-Lo did it in black. Orion did it in red, and I don't mind the change in color because it's actually a really, 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 really good interpretation of the dress. It's the only thing that changes is the color. She did all of this stoning herself, she said. She's also one of our seamstresses of the season. So I believe she made this herself. And I think she looks great. Orion gives me very much of a Pearl vibe, and I actually loved Pearl on her season. So I don't mind her. We don't get to see a lot of her in the show, which tells me that she's probably not going to do super great. But I enjoy her looks. Not going to lie about that. The hair is not spectacular to me, but it's fine. She got a 29% toot, the lowest of the week. And I don't understand why, because I think she did a great recreation of the dress as well, other than the color. She could have done it in black, and then they would have said it was too much of a copy. Who knows? Maybe people just don't like Orion's story and don't think she should be there, since she was technically eliminated first. There you go. those are our looks. We do have a winner this week, who was Angeria Paris Van Michaels. I can't dispute that. I can, but I'm not going to, because she was funny in the challenge and her runway was spectacular. I think Dacia Sky should have actually won based on the challenge. I think she was stronger in the challenge. They showed more of her versatility in there, where Angeria only had the one little segment about the RuPaul Southern Hospitality race. They had a ton of Dacia Sky in there. Her dressed up as the cow just made me laugh so hard. So I thought she deserved to win. I get why Angeria won, and I'm fine with that. Angeria is someone that I thought would be out very early, and she has proved me wrong. It happens every season. What can I say? So bravo to you. So that left us with Colby. I keep calling her Colby. Carrie Colby and Alyssa Hunter in the bottom two. They are going to be lip syncing to J-Lo's Play, a song that I don't love. I think Alyssa won the lip sync. I know that her gun kind of backfired on her. It didn't really work. I don't know why she even had it for this lip sync. She didn't need it. But she ended up picking up the money and throwing it around. So I think the fact that she kept going eliminated the problem that it didn't work for me, and her lip sync was better. Carrie Colby was so boring in this lip sync. And I know that she was worried about messing up this garment that she borrowed, that she knew she had to get back. So she couldn't tear it. She couldn't mess it up at all. She wasn't going to get on the ground because it has to go back. And it probably had to go back immediately after she wore it. But in the end, Alyssa Hunter was sent home. I kind of knew that she wasn't going to go home, even though she won the lip sync, because they are not going to get rid of Carrie Colby. They love her. They want her around. But to me, she did not win that lip sync, and that's all there is to it. I'm tired of all these gorge puns. Michelle Visage, stop. I don't need them anymore. They're stupid. I don't get it, and I'm tired of it. So just stop doing them, please. We're done with them. Next week, though, we have three special guests, and that is Tempest DuJour, James Mansfield, and Kamora Hall. These are first outs from season 7. Was James Mansfield 8 and 12? I'm not sure which James Mansfield was on. She may have not been on. I'm trying to think who she lip-synced against. It was not 8. I don't know who she lip-synced. Never mind. I don't know. James Mansfield may have been on 8. That's the only one I don't know. But they are coming back. I don't know what they're coming back for. And because I was so distracted by that, I didn't even write down what the challenge was. So I don't even know what the challenge is. I don't know if they're going to be making over these queens, like to give them a second chance kind of thing. I just don't know. Feel free to comment below and let me know what I missed, because I did not really, really pay attention to it. That's all I have for this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14, Episode 4. So if you are done, feel free to turn it off right here. If you want to hear me talk about UK versus the world, stick around. It's coming right up. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not finish this. I hope you didn't log off. This was our ranking that we did based on the draft. I finally put it in here as a picture, so I don't have to keep looking for it. So this is the order, in order that the queens were picked and which they were no longer available to pick. Bosco was the first one picked everyone. Every queen could be picked five times. Bosco was the first one out, going down to Orion's Story. So that was the way we did the elimination order. Technically, Orion's Story was eliminated first, but then she came back. So that screwed everything up. And we had June Jambalaya leaving first in 14th place, and we had her sixth. So people liked her. Same thing with Alyssa Hunter. She ended up 13th. She was fifth on our list. Everyone thought she was going to come in fifth. Not come in fifth. She was the way she was picked. That's the way it ended up. So there you have it. We are not doing well based on elimination order. I do have to give a shout out to Tim Anderson. He is currently in first place in the Fantasy League, but it is very, very close between the top. I mean, even the top nine, top 10, eight, really. There's only 50 points between one and eight. So it's very early in the season. Things are going to change drastically. And I'm going to move to the top. You see, I'm way down there in 10th place, tied in 10th place for three people. So really I'm 10, 11, 12-ish. Out of 21. Rich, you are down at the bottom, but don't fear, because we do have our scholarship fund this season. And so last place is going to win their $25 back, which costs them to get into it, thanks to a generous donor. All right, now I'm moving on to UK versus the world. So you can jump off now if you want to. These are our queens for UK versus the world. We have Pangina Heels from Thailand. She was not a competitor. She was a host, I guess. I don't know if they call her a judge, but she was a co-host slash judge on Drag Race Thailand season one and two. There's rumor that season three is happening, and I'm hoping that she will be back for that, of course. Then we have Jujubee from every fucking season of Drag Race and Queen of the Universe. She is back again for her fourth try on Drag Race, fifth try on reality. She's also had the two shows on Lifetime. She is now going into Death Drop in the UK, the drag show on the West End. So she's a busy woman. I don't think we need to see her on another Drag Race for a while. Then we have my favorite queen from Canada, Jimbo, season one of Canada, my favorite queen who should have won, in my opinion. Not true. I love Priyanka as well, but I think Jimbo got robbed this season. They really, really discounted her. And I don't think they knew that she was going to be such a huge fan favorite. But she is back here for Queens of the World. I don't know what to call it. International All-Stars is what I want to call it. We have Cheryl Hole from the UK. We have Blue Hydrangea from the UK, and we have Bag of Chips from the UK. They are the three center queens. They all make sense. Divina DeCampo obviously should have been brought back. Maybe she didn't want to come back. I know she was doing the tour of Chicago, the European tour of Chicago. So maybe she was doing that instead. Who knows? But I would love to see Divina DeCampo back on Drag Race. She was my winner from season one UK. No offense to the Vivian, but I think Divina DeCampo won. Next, we have Mo Hart, previously known as Monique Hart. From the US, she was on season 10 and All-Stars 4, I think 4. A great queen to watch. She's fun on TV. She's great television. She's great talking heads. Her looks have improved drastically from her season. So it only makes sense that she's there. Next, we have Janie Dekay from Holland season one, also the queen that I thought should have won that season. No offense, Envy Peru. Everyone knew Envy Peru was going to win. I was team Janie Dekay. So I'm happy that she is getting another chance to be back on my TV. Finally, we have Lemon from Canada season one. I thought Lemon should have gone home first. She grew on me a little of the season, but not tremendously. So I'm looking forward to seeing how her track has changed. I know she is a fan favorite, and so that is probably why she is back. She is here in New York. We were at a drag brunch together, sitting two tables apart. She was not performing. She was there watching. So God bless her. Good luck. Those are our nine queens. I believe this is only six episodes, so it's going to go very quick. I'm going to not do a separate recap for them unless I get really, really inspired to. But I will be doing the Instagram toots and boots for their looks. And I will be talking about it probably on my recaps for Drag Race season 14 a little bit. That's all. So the looks were Warrior, the promo looks were warrior, some type of warrior. I don't know. They never really said. This was Bag of Chips. She got a 70% toot. I mean, everyone loves Bag of Chips. She's all personality, not much style. So it'll be interesting to see how her style has changed as well. I am happy to see her on my TV. She makes me laugh. Next, we have Blue Hydrangea with a big 91% toot in this little blue look. Blue was very underrated by me on season one, and she proved me wrong. I love when a queen proves me wrong. So I look forward to see how her drag has elevated since being on TV. Very, very excited for Blue Hydrangea. Cheryl Hull, I don't need to see her again, but she's fine. She'll be fine on TV. I think she was kind of the replacement for Davina DeCampo, probably. Because if they had Davina DeCampo, they would have all of the Frock Destroyers there, which would have been, you know, the girl group challenge. But instead we have Cheryl Hull because Davina was unavailable or didn't want to do it. I don't like this look, but it got a 48% toot. So it's kind of right in the middle. People love Cheryl Hull. She's entertaining. She entertains me as well. Janie Jacquet got a big 96% toot. This is our highest toot of the promo looks. It is gorgeous. She looks powerful. She looks beautiful. She looks strong. Yeah, there's nothing bad to say about it. It's rocking. She's looking really, really good. The shin guards, I think, are a little too high. They come up a little too high on her and make her look shorter than I think she actually is. That's the only criticism I have for it. But other than that, the hair, the mug, the outfit, perfection. Bravo, Janie Jacquet. Jimbo the drag queen. I think it's Jimbo the drag clown, actually, if you want to follow her on the Instagrams, is one of my favorite queens. She got 48% toot. And she gets 100% toot every time for me because I love her. I love this giant hair. I love that she wears these oversized, exaggerated breasts every chance that she gets. My good friend Ryan, the super spreader, got me a cameo from Jimbo, which I will save forever because it just makes me laugh. I have such a great entertainer. I love, 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 love Jimbo. Please don't send her home first. RuPaul is going to hate her though. I think RuPaul will hate her. Or she'll think she's brilliant because she's so wackadoodle. Next we have Jujubee, also with a 40, was Jimbo 44, 40? Yeah, they're both 48% toots. It's a very simple look. It's very Hunger Games. It's not great, in my opinion. I think her wig is good. I mean, it fits her well. Does she look bad? No, it's just boring. And that is my fear with Jujubee. She's actually my pick to go home first. I know she's made it to the finale in every season that she's been on. But this doesn't excite me. I think I'm done with her is all. I think that's all. I think I'm just done with her. Next, we have Lemon with a 65% toot for her little Grecian number. I like the outfit. I don't like her hair. I know she loves yellow hair because her name is Lemon. I get it. But I don't like the yellow hair. It's just me. Does she look bad? No. She looks really great in this outfit, but I just don't like the hair. Mohart got a 91% toot with her look. These wings are gorgeous. The body is lovely. She could use a little more padding. It's a little funny, funky padding on her hips. They look like a little low, but that may be because of the outfit. I love the headpiece. Her makeup looks flawless. She looks great in this look. Like I said, I'm excited to see the looks that she brings now. Angina Heels, also another one of mine who I'm really, really rooting for. She got just a 74% toot for this look, which I think is low. I love this head wrap thing that she would. This is the wrap that what's her name? Cornbread wish she had on episode one, because Cornbread's look so bad on her runway look, that this is the one you want. It is long, it is full, it covers her head. She looks amazing to me. I really, really want her to do well. It's weird to me that a judge / host is participating instead of one of the contestants from Thailand, but hey, who am I? Maybe they're just promoting season 3 of Drag Race Thailand. That may be happening. Who knows? But Pangina Heels, I'm excited to see what she does. She's the only one that hasn't competed. So maybe she has a little bit of a disadvantage, or maybe she has a super strong advantage from being on the other side of the table. And knowing what to look for and what to do. Who knows? So those are our queens from UK versus the World, which will be airing very shortly today. I'm excited for it. I will be talking about it, but not on a unless I get very, very inspired by it, I will not be doing a separate recap of it. But who knows? The world changes all the time. Maybe someone I know will want to do one and I'll be like, I'm sure I'll do it with you. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And of course, if they do a Snatch Game, Roger will always join me, hopefully for that. So we'll see what happens. That's all I have for you today, kids. Thank you for watching and listening. However you're getting this, if you're listening to it on a podcast, you can watch it on YouTube. My YouTube page is bhbrown13. You can probably search Sashay Away with Barry and it will come up. Search RuPaul's Drag Race, something like that. It should pop up as well. If you are watching this and are tired of looking at me, you can just listen to it on your favorite platform where you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Anchor. I don't know. It's on like eight of them. Anchor publishes it for me and puts them out there. So I don't know where they're at, but they're all over. Google Play is the other one, big one. Those are the four major ones. And so you can listen to them there. If you want to watch it and listen to it, fine, do both. It's just more points for me. I don't do this for anything like that. I don't get paid. I don't have sponsors. I don't do any of that. There is a sponsor on the podcast because Anchor requires you to shout them out if you're using their platform. I gain money from it, but I've been doing this for 2 years through them, and I think I have $20. I've never cashed out. So there you have that. So go listen to my podcast if you want to give me some money. That's all I have again. Thank you for watching and listening. I will be back next week. I'm going to try to do these earlier. I just haven't been fully motivated. That is not to say I'm not enjoying the season. I actually really like all the queens. I don't hate any of them. I don't agree with either elimination so far, really, because I don't think that either of them deserved to be fully in. Oh, that's not true. June's probably was, but I don't think she had the worst looks of the ball. Did she? She had one great look and two bad looks. Cornbread had three bad looks. They're never gonna put her in the bottom. Thank you for watching and listening. I'm gonna say it one more time before I get out of here. Please stay safe out there. Get your vaccinations, get your boosters, wear a mask. I know we're not supposed to be wearing cloth masks anymore. So wear an N95, KN95, or a surgical mask if possible. If all you have are cloth masks, wear that. It's better than nothing. That's what I'm saying to you. Social distance when you can, and please, please, please stay safe. I love you all and thank you. Bye.